Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to about three different places. Kind of unusual. Go to church and I'm asking you to use your Bible. Isn't that something? If you will, start with me. Oh, let's start in 1 Corinthians, and then we'll go back to the right. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, often called the resurrection chapter in the Bible. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians, and then, yes, we go into the book of Revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Even in church, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We chose that verse years ago for the nursery. Put it on the wall. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The trumpet shall sound. Says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now I want you to go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll get just a little bit more information on this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh, we pick it up in about verse 13. Chapter 4, did I say that? I said it wrong, didn't I? 1 Thessalonians, let's get it right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll pick it up here in about verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or basically means precede, them which are asleep. Still talking about the rapture in both contexts there. Go back now with me all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and we'll pick it up in about verse 3. I'm going to skip through a few verses here. Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, talking about this beast, there's two beasts in the chapter. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now go with me to verse 13 in the same chapter. Chapter 13, verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This is a false prophet now pointing to the first beast, the Antichrist, verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So the false prophet beast is pointing to the Antichrist as we know him, call him. That Antichrist has been wounded. And now this false prophet said, make an image to him. And it says in verse 16, he causeth all, both small, great, rich, and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Hear his wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is, it is number of a man, and his number is 666 or 666. Everybody just about has heard about that and a lot of talk about it. Now I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. I did not want to preach this. I said, Lord, let me out of this. I've been preaching it over and over to them. I think about the new preacher came in and preached that first Sunday on repentance, second Sunday on repentance, third Sunday on repentance. Deacons finally came to him and said, don't you have any other sermon? All you're preaching is repentance. He said, I'm going to keep doing it till you do. And that's not too bad of a thought, to tell you the truth. But I said, Lord, I've been kind of got my needle stuck here. I've been kind of hanging up on some of this right here. But I will say this. When I got saved, I had a grandma that told me the Bible was the Word of God. And I didn't know John 3:16 when I got saved. But I think deep in my heart, I knew it was the Word of God for a long, long time, even before I got saved. And I remember I got saved in January 1957. Now, that was still in this century, folks. No, it wasn't. All right. Don't mess me up with my arithmetic here. Truth is, when I started hearing preachers preach right after I got saved, you know what they were preaching? Jesus is coming. And I believed it way back then. You say, well, he hadn't come. Yeah, but we're a lot closer now, I'll tell you that. No doubt about that for sure. But I remember, and Israel had become a nation in 1948. And that was a great big sign. The fig tree had budded. And you couldn't hear many preachers that would, but what they would refer to that and say something about it. Of course, in 1967, they took the Temple Mount back where the temple's going to be built. So all of that keeps piling on and piling on as things come that are being fulfilled in the Bible. Now we get down to our present happenings today, and the truth is, I said, Lord, I'd rather preach something else now. They've heard this and heard this. Truth is, I'm still concerned that we need to get the message out today. I read about old John Bunyan. You know who he was? He spent 12 years in the Bedford jail in England. He was the one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. You remember that. John Bunyan said to preachers, he said, when God puts it on your heart, when you feel it, he said, don't deny it. Go ahead and preach it. So I guess that's what I'm saying to you this morning. In spite of the danger of repetition, I'm going to say some things again, a little bit about the mark of the beast. Here's what I want to basically say. Why will people take it? And what stands between us in that time even now? That's why I went to scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15. Do you know in a twinkling of an eye how quick things could change on old planet Earth? Twinkle of an eye is not a batting of the eyelids. It's a twinkle. It's sort of like when you first looked at that girl and she saw a twinkle in your eye. And she wished she'd never seen it. Well, anyway, truth of the matter is it's quick. It's quicker than we can describe. And if the rapture took place, the mark of the beast is right following that, and there's going to be a pile of people deceived into taking it, no doubt about it. I'll remind you some things here. To begin with, I want to say some things about it. To begin with, this mark, this thing, this kingdom of the Antichrist that will come, this mark will be government ordered. Do you understand? I'm talking about world government. Yes, it will be, but it's government order. Now, we look around today and see how good and obedient we are to government, don't we? We're pretty obedient, more than you might think. Look around today and see how things have changed and how quick they have changed. And this mark will, the reason for the mark will be economy. You can't buy or sell without it. And we look around today now and see the controls of the economy and everything. The stock market's up or it's down. All of this business is going on today. And we've seen the shutdown destroy the greatest economy America probably ever had. We're into those days now. And it's going to be an economical thing whether or not you take the mark or not. And the truth is, you won't have much choice. Now, I hope you're not here. I believe the rapture is going to take some of us out before it becomes mandatory to take the mark. I believe that. But this mark will be condoned by world religion. I said to you here in this chapter, there's two beasts, and one of them is referred to as a false prophet. He's the religious leader that says to the whole world, worship the beast. We're going to make an image of him. This is the way you do it. And do you know, folks, today there's a whole pile of people do everything their religious leader tells them. You'd be surprised how few folks really check things out by the Bible anymore. It's what my religious group says. I had a man call me, a good man called me on the phone this week, and he's definitely not of my stripe. He's not of a Baptist, but he said you'd be shocked when I tell you what I am, and I was a little bit shocked. But he said, I want to tell you something. Our leader is a communist. I knew what he was talking about. But that's a world leader we're talking about. That's a big religion leader. That's the one that millions of people listen to and go by. And whatever he says is supposed to be speaking as it were from the throne of God. But this false prophet is going to be that kind of way here in Revelation 13. He's going to be a big religious leader, and he's going to be the media's favorite, which he is today anyhow. But when he becomes the false prophet of Revelation 13, the media is going to say he's right. Everything he says, you do it. And we got fake media today saying all kind of things, but isn't it amazing how many folks go along with it? You know, it is amazing today. You need to be careful. I put this thing out right here. You're free, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I put this out because it came my way, but I like kind of what the guy, I believe this is the one that said it on the back. Oh yeah, on the very bottom it says, you can find this article and more at No More Fake News. Boy, that'll be the day when there is no more fake news, right? Amen. But this false prophet will show up and he'll point to the beast, the Antichrist, and he'll say, he's the man. Obey him, take his mark, and the economy will boom and everything will be fine. And there's another reason people are going to take the mark, because it's going to be medically correct. Boy, we're observing that now. Who's boss in America right now? Say, well, the man in the White House. No, the man in the white coat. You understand what I just said? The truth of the matter is, that's the bunch that's calling signals today. I fear it is. Medically correct. Right now, not only do you need to get the test, but you need to be traced. Do you understand what tracing is? That's keeping up with everything about you and knowing what you're doing and where you're at. Amen, Mickey. Now, this ain't going to get popular, so you might as well buckle your seatbelt. Truth of the matter is, Bill Gates and other millionaires and billionaires are in control. They think it's up to them to thin out the world's population, folks. That's really what they're thinking right now. You can observe it going. Quarantined, obey, do whatever. But now here's the interesting thing. They're talking about vaccines, and all we cheer that on. Oh, good, a vaccine's coming to the rescue. The Lone Ranger's coming. A silver bullet's going to save us. Really? Vaccines. Got a paper in my hand right here, and Dr. Lee, this is from Matt Staver. You know who I'm talking about. I think you and I were at the Liberty Council meeting in 86 when they went to Orlando and we got the thing. They started it. I'm all for them. You see them in the news. Matt Staver is a representative of freedom and fighting for the churches. And I think there's still an office in Orlando and some other places. He's done a great job, is doing a great job. And he's been even in the news here since the pandemic came on us. And it's really interesting what he's doing. He's telling us right now, we better jump on it quick and get to our legislators and get to the ones that are in Congress and tell them we do not want to be mandated to take a vaccine. Now, this is the group I'm talking about. These are Christian lawyers. They're doing a great job. They're behind the scenes. They know what's going on. And he's given us some warning. He said, we're already building our plans, talking about this guy, to vaccinate the whole city of Chicago. He says, there's a growing number of state politicians who are getting ready to demand and grooming their citizens to accept mandatory vaccines. You say, wouldn't that be good? Maybe, maybe not. But let me ask you this. I kind of got to thinking, what would make people want to take the mark? Economy? That's plain in the scripture. But if it's medically accepted and you are ostracized if you don't get vaccinated. It's getting quiet in here, but no, can't help it. Mandatory vaccinations. I talked to you a little bit the other night, something along that way. This article here, really, I didn't have it copied. I might get it copied for you. Says, our nation is rushing toward two challenges that are deeply intertwined, domestic spying and the pressure to take a half-baked vaccination. He warns about this. Now, let's face it. Would we take the mark if it was good for our health and good for the economy? Better watch out. You see, there's going to be some reason that the whole world, and this thing is spread whole worldwide right now, there's going to be some big reason behind it. I think we're living in some close to the closing end time events, is what I think. Think the false prophet is going to point to the man of sin. The man of sin is going to come on the scene. I believe he'll be elected. And this thing of tracing is going to come in. And the truth of the matter is that we're going to feel pressure that we've never felt before. I said it this morning in Sunday school. The devil uses this thing against the church bigger than any weapon that he's ever had. Because you see, if there's anybody going to give you the truth from the Word of God, it's going to be a good preacher in a good church. That's the one. Now, you think about it a minute. You say, well, I wouldn't do it. I've had folks, I wouldn't take the mark of the beast. Oh, yeah, you'll get vaccinated. Yeah, you'll buy and sell. Only way you can is with the mark. Yeah. Now, how many of you, and don't raise your hand. How many of you have been in a place where you had the evil eye on you because you didn't have a mask on? You wear it if you want to, don't. But how many of you have had something bad said to you? Somebody told me this morning they run out of a store because it went in without a mask. Now, personally, I'd try to find me another store that sold the same thing. But anyway, now if you think that's bad, what if you don't take the vaccination? Say, well, how would they know whether I've taken it or not? I talked to you the other night how Bill Gates has come out and now he's got a thing where they can shoot it in your arm and they can scan you at 10 feet and tell whether you've had your vaccination or not. All you do is walk in the door and the little thing beeps or don't beep when you go through. All right, I'm teaching you science now and I don't have a degree in that. Truth of the matter is, some stuff is happening. Look how quick all this came. Do you know 3 months ago you could walk in the bank with a mask on and they'd push the panic button and call the law? Right? But now you walk in without one and they'll push the panic button another kind of way. See how quick things can flip-flop? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm talking to you serious. I'm talking to you. I said, Lord, I don't want to preach that again. But I feel like he must have had somebody that was asleep last time I said something about this. Amen. I'm just simply saying to you, folks, there's an urgency about Jesus coming. There's an urgency that we're beginning to see things that's going to go full blossom, flesh out in the tribulation period after the saved folks are gone. And if we're seeing that now, how much more? You know, most of us thought this thing would be over in a few weeks, and now it's a few months. And it don't seem to be over at all. And the sad truth is, with the manipulation of numbers and everything else, we're all scared everybody's going to die. Would I shock you, and I don't have all my papers, a bunch of them laying on the desk. Would I shock you to say that out of 100,000 people in Florida, the average death rate with this thing is four. Four. One, two, three, four. Could I tell you that in 2018, flu had 14 out of 100,000? But we didn't go nuts over the regular seasonal flu, did we? Don't you understand something's going on? The stats. And the other thing is, I told you about the boy getting killed on the motorcycle in Orlando. I told you on Sunday night, I told you that. But he got written up for dying of COVID. I don't know if COVID was written on the front of that truck that hit him or not. I'm joking with you a little bit, but it's sad. We can't get a hold of the truth. Not the whole truth and all the truth like it ought to be. I'm saying this mark is coming. The government's going to order it. It's going to be medically correct. And you're going to have the evil eye on you if you don't take it. Number two, it's headed by a popular man. Oh, he'll be popular. His program's already popular. Do you know what this next election's going to have to do? they say the millennial vote is going to decide. You know what the millennial vote is? It's college students that's been brainwashed from one end to the other, and even good Christian parents paid the tuition for the brainwashing. They say the biggest voting block will be the millennials, not the boomers. The boomers are kind of old history now, but the millennials. And that's probably going to make the difference. Why? Because they promised what's not true, and that is a free lunch. They have been promised socialism is the answer to everything. No, it's not. It's the answer to rubbing out the middle class of having the elite and the peasants. If you don't believe it, go to Russia and check it out. If you don't believe it, go to Cuba and check it out. If you don't believe it, try it. It's never worked nowhere, and it will not work. America was blessed of God in the beginning to have a government for the people and by the people. I want to say to you an experiment that God allowed man to have because our forefathers believed in him and trusted him. It's written in our documents. You know what I'm talking about. But the decision today, the far left is brainwashing people to no end. Somebody said, well, it's jobs or mobs. Folks, we're not far from the mobs. You're seeing them on your TV all the time. And you know what they're saying? They're saying when we get through the big cities, we're coming out where you live. And they will. It will happen. I had to laugh. Did you see the Portland mayor go out in the streets to the mob? How many of you, raise your hand if you saw that. That little weasel went out there with his bodyguards. That's hypocritical. He had his bodyguards. He wanted to go out and say, I'm with you. What did they say to him? Some stuff I can't say from the pulpit. And they threw some stuff at him. Scared him, and he tucked his little mousy tail and ran. And I want to tell you, when the mob gets through using the useful idiots, they'll turn on them. Always does. Every revolution, you read your history. They'll turn on them every time. They'll line them up for the firing squad every time. Now there's a man coming. His program's going to run ahead of him. We already see what the program is today. And he's described something about him. He's described in the book of Daniel, bringing in the socialist program. He's even described personally in the book of Zechariah. Don't turn to it. Don't have time. But Zechariah chapter 11, you can read about it. Read the last verses. It describes him. It calls him the idol shepherd. And it gives you some description of what we read in Revelation. He's going to be wounded, and yet he's going to live. That's going to get the world's attention. He should have died, but he's alive. You see that? Well, the book of Zechariah says his right eye is going to be darkened, and his arm is going to be wounded with a sword. Now, let me tell you, I think it's his left arm. So how would you know it was his left? Because in the old days, when they took a king or a warrior and they wanted to disable him, they put out his right eye and they crippled his left arm. The reason they did that is because the left arm held the shield and the right eye looked past the shield. And the right hand held the sword, average right-handed person. But if you crippled his left arm, he had no defense. He couldn't hold the shield. If you put out his right eye, he couldn't see past the shield. That's why I believe the Antichrist will show up. You watch for it in the news. If he comes on TV tonight, call me up. Say, there's a guy there with a dark right eye and a wounded left arm. I'm going to say, that might be him. Now, I'm playing with you some, but that's what the Bible describes. He's the Antichrist. His number is 666. His number will be on the mark. His mark will be taken because it's going to be a medically smart thing to do. Economically, you can't survive without it. And this is going to be the control that is coming. Oh, this fellow will be unusual. He'll be the rainbow man, too. Do you know that? According to the book of Daniel, he has no desire for women. Now, y'all put two and two together on that if you want to. Kind of odd, or queer, you might say. Amen? All right. Hey, when you walked in here, you just didn't know where you were coming this morning. Sorry. He's going to be headed up. This thing's going to be headed up. This program's going to be headed up by a popular man. He's going to be voted in. He's going to be followed. Religiously, he's going to be pointed to by the world religious leader. And thousands upon thousands are going to worship him according to Revelation. How soon, preacher? Well, I don't know. In a twinkling of an eye, that's pretty quick. Once it does, it'll be here very quick. When God's people are called out, there'll be no more restraint against evil. No more restraint against the Antichrist program. Can you imagine that if all of a sudden God's people are gone? Oh, yes. If they think it's bad in the streets right now, wait till then. It's really going to get bad. How soon? Could be in a twinkling of an eye. We are restraining evil to some degree, but boy, it's slipping. Righteousness is slipping away everywhere you look. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say the Hallmark channel on TV always advertises a family thing and a wholesome programs on the Hallmark? Anybody remember that? Did you see the announcement even come over our radio station this week? Hallmark now is changing to be all-inclusive and so afraid they'll discriminate till now they're going to write in transgender stories and homosexual stories into their programming. So much for the family channel. Amen? Oh, yeah. It seems like righteousness is losing, and it will lose until the King of Righteousness himself shows up. You know, God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he'll send a strong delusion to those that reject the gospel. Those that have heard and would not accept, God himself said, I'll send strong delusion. Folks, are we around the edge of strong delusion right now? It sure looks like we are. It sure looks. High near? Well, it could be in the twinkling of an eye. Yes, it could. Very quick, if the rapture were to take place. You know, folks, we talk about it lightly. We've been saved. We got assurance. We know that we belong to the Lord Jesus. We know every sin's been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for that and praise God for it. But when we talk about the rapture, you know what a time of terror that's going to be for those left behind? It's going to split families, husbands and wives, parents and kids. You think about it. Most of you know that children are safe in the Lord. How many mothers are going to be crying because the crib is empty? Because the baby is gone. All the powers that be will try to explain it, but you imagine the terror? I think about it. As a girl, my wife will know who I'm talking about. Some of you in church might. She started off in our young people's department before I was called to preach. And she loved the Lord. She was faithful. Her and got married with a boy in the church. They married. They had a good home. They had a baby. And she knew a Bible. She knew some of the stuff I'm talking about right now real good. And she tells a story. My wife will remember it. I could still take you to the house over in Winter Haven. Husband was going to work. The newborn baby was in the bedroom, in the crib. She was busy in the kitchen. Every now and then she'd go check on the baby, and the baby was doing fine in the baby bed. And then she went back to check on the baby, and the bed was empty. The baby was gone. Oh, she went to screaming and hollering and looking for the baby. There was no back door. There was no way the window was moved. There's no way anybody could have gotten in there. Where was the baby? And then she had this horrible thought. She knew the Bible. She knew that the rapture. She knew the saved would be taken. The innocent children would be taken. And she said, the rapture's taken place. I thought I was saved. I believed I was saved. And how could I have been wrong? My baby's gone. And she explained it, and you ought to hear that mother breaking down in tears and screaming even as she told the story. What an awful thing that's going to be multiplied across the land. Babies are gone. Children are gone. And I'm still here? What a horrible thing. In her screaming and carrying on, she ran around and found the baby, small baby that it was, had slipped down between the mattress and the railing of the bed and was still asleep. But there it was. She said, I'll never ever think about the rapture in the same way that I thought that morning when I thought my baby was gone and I was still home, still here, still left behind. And I want to say to you listening to me on the radio this morning or in this room, the rapture's not just a word. It's an event on God's calendar. It is going to happen. It's going to take the saved and it's going to leave the lost behind. You'll be in one of those groups. If you're living and breathing on planet Earth, you're going to be in one of those two groups. Now, this morning, I can't look out there and tell you if you're saved or not, but you know in your heart if you are. Have you ever received Christ? Is he become your substitute, your savior, your sin barrier that paid for your sins on the cross? Do you know that for sure? Folks, to not know and to flirt with being left behind is a very dangerous thing. What we're seeing in the world today is unusual. It's not quite happened this way before in our lifetime. We see events coming together and fitting together according to the Word of God like we have never seen before. If there's ever a time to be sure about your salvation, it's now. Are you sure? Are you sure? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, again, we've just touched on some things. Father, when I open it up, I just don't have time to do it correctly. Don't have the ability to do it correctly. But Father, I thank you that you allow us to still give the warning and to get people to take warning and to see the urgency of being right with you and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. I pray for the invitation here. I pray for it in Radio Land, on a car radio, or in a room this morning. I pray you'd speak to every heart. Father, we once again have preached as you urged us to, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would take it and bless it and use it, and not one under the sound of my voice would take a chance on living another day without the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. I pray, Father, they would be saved by coming and believing and trusting him, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to give an invitation here in House of God. I gave you an invitation over the wire and over the radio this morning. I'm thankful you can bow your heart and your knee wherever you're at, and God will hear you and receive you if you'll come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I pray you will in Jesus' name.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And
will you come? Will you come? What's God spoken to you about this morning? In Radio Land out there, would you bow your heart and say, Lord, I can't take a chance on living any longer without you. I can't save myself. I can't pay for my own sins. I'll take Christ. I'll trust him. I'll ask him to save me this morning. I pray you'd do that. Recognize what is a common saying today, well, you're preaching to the choir. I know what that means. It means the folks you're preaching to has already heard it. No, that's probably true here in our church pretty much. Occasional, not me, but mainly our crowd. Many of them gone on vacation or out sick or something else. I understand all that. But we still believe church is very necessary. And our message goes further than just the walls here of this building. I get notes from far off places sometimes. I'm so amazed sometimes at how God gets his word out. It's different places you wouldn't expect. That's our job until Jesus comes. Keep telling. Keep telling. Can't walk the aisle for anybody. Can't pray the sinner's prayer for anybody, but I can certainly urge them too, because time is short. It is serious. It is urgent. I challenge you as God's people, if anybody ought to listen to us, it ought to be in these crazy days that we're in. You might be fooled. Might be some folks out there just thirsty to hear something. Let's speak up as we can get a chance to do so. I hate to say it, but until the Lord Jesus comes and makes it his kingdom, this world is going to keep going, as the Bible says, worse and worse. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, the scripture says. There's a verse that says, what if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the foundations are shaking nowadays. They really are. What can we do? We keep on doing what's right. It's right to talk about Jesus and tell others. Amen. Let me encourage you to come back tonight. We're going to be having the fellowship for Hector and Sharon. We hate to see them go, but we've always said this. We train a lot of young people around here, college and otherwise, and one thing we want for them all is to be in God's will. Just be in God's will. And we do have a lot of our young folks that have been here scattered all over the world now, from the mission field to parish churches. Had a fellow here came by to see me the other day. He's spent most of his latter years now in California. But he came by and he said, I want to walk out in the auditorium. So we walked through the door there. And he went right over about where Brother Harvey's sitting over here. And he said, right there, 1977, the corner of that pew is where I got saved. That blesses my heart to hear testimonies like that once in a while. Amen. And a lot of folks still serving God, whether we see it or know it or not. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer and encourage you to come back tonight. Again, Brother Condon, would you come dismiss us, please?